you're able, if you'd kneel with me as I offer the opening prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, as once again we'd have opportunity to assemble ourselves together before Thee in Thy house, we would do so giving thanks for the continuous outpouring of Thy goodness and blessings upon us. We'd ask Your forgiveness for our sins and shortcomings and pray that Your Spirit would be here in abundance. We pray that You would be with our brother Dwayne even now, that You'd be pouring Your Spirit out upon him, giving him the inspiration, the wisdom, discernment, remembrance of scriptures and thought to be able to present that message that You have given to him to present to us this day. We pray that You'd help us, that we'd put aside the cares and the concerns of life and our responsibilities, that we would be able to focus wholly upon this message that we'll receive this night and to take it within our hearts and apply it to our lives. We do pray that You'd be with our brother John, who has ministered to you this morning, and pray that he has received that which he has sought of Thee, and lift up the many other names and needs that we brought before Thee in the days and the weeks past, and pray that You'd bless them each according to Your will and Your desires. And so, Father, we do trust this service in Your watch care, and we do ask and pray this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue this evening with the use of hymn number 96, What Was Witnessed in the Heavens, number 96. And again, if you'd stand as we sing, please. I know that our brother has taken the time to prepare himself, both in prayer and study of the scriptures, that he present the message to us for the hour of this night. And I'd ask now that you'd also prepare yourself, your hearts and your minds, that you'd set aside those cares and those concerns of life. And you might lift our brother up in prayer this night, that indeed he would have the inspiration and the direction of the Holy Spirit to present to us a message that we might be richly fed by. Give to you this night our brother Dwayne Ely.
Good evening. It is good to see each one of you here this evening. Tonight I'm going to do something a little bit different. And I don't know, maybe I always do something a little bit different. But tonight, I'm going to compare our spiritual lives to a diet. And according to columnist Irma Bombeck, one-third of the world is on a diet, another third just fell off a diet, and the remaining third is going on one next Monday. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think at least in America that most people are familiar with diets. In some of these third world countries, that word would not compute. But here in America, many are on diets. This information I'm going to give you tonight, I got from the Heart Health for Life. And it says it's estimated that there are currently 80 million people on a diet. And statistics show that 98% of these efforts will fail. And I'm sure this 80 million is talking about in America. But you can win at the losing game, but there are some fundamental principles that must be followed. Now listen up, kids. Eat all the green and yellow vegetables that you want. Eat all of the legumes you want, which include beans, peas, and lentils. Eat all the whole grains you want, such as brown rice, barley, wheat, and oats. Dairy products should be skim or low fat. Limit sugar and white flour products. Limit high fat foods, beef, pork, oils, dressings, and sauces. And eat at least 2 servings of fruit each day, which include an apple. Now that sounds like a pretty good start to a diet, doesn't it? And we see that there are requirements for a successful diet, just like there are requirements for a successful spiritual life. There are things we can do in this spiritual life, and there are things that we can't do. Let's turn over to our first scripture. Let's look at 3 Nephi, chapter 5, verse 53. This is on page 635. And blessed are all they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. That hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's one of the requirements for a successful spiritual life. We've got to have that strong desire in our heart. We have to be compelled in our heart to follow after righteousness, to follow after the things that our Lord and Savior has told us. And if we do that, it says that we will be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will be with us. It will dwell with us if we have that desire to serve our Lord and Savior. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are things that are to be in our lives. They're to be in our daily life. You know, the people that we see at work or school, They should be able to see these things in our life. We should never have to tell somebody that we have them in our heart. Because they should show. They should radiate out from our being. They should be a daily part of our life. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's something that we shouldn't do, is it? We have to abstain from all appearance of evil. And you know, that's changed over the years as the world has gone downhill. And they have been deceived and accepted the ways of the world. There are many temptations out there. Many things that can deceive us. But we need to always be watchful for them and not partake in them, but hold to that righteousness. And we, as we read earlier, if we do, the Lord has promised to be with us and that His Spirit would be with us to guide us and direct us. Another section on this diet, it says strength training is important. In an 8-week study conducted by Dr. Wayne Westcott, national fitness consultant for the YMCA, a group that performed 15 minutes of aerobics and 15 minutes of strength training lost 7 more pounds of body fat than the group which did only aerobic exercises for 30 minutes. Let's look at 1 Nephi chapter 2, verse 18. This is on page 17. Yea, and how is it that ye have forgotten that the Lord is able to do all things according to His will? For the children of men, if it so be that they exercise faith in Him, wherefore, let us be faithful in Him. It says we're to exercise our faith. And you know, that's very similar to exercising our body. You know, we have to work at it. We have to continually work at it. And we have to have that faith in our Lord and Savior, because we know that He is able to do all things. And if we have that faith in Him, He will be there with us to guide us and direct us all the days of our life. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's a promise that our God has given unto us, if we will follow after Him. And it says, fear thou not. And we know recently we've heard several sermons about that. To not fear. And those who were back in Missouri for the conference know that there were several dreams given about things that are to come upon this nation. some destructive things that are prophesied to happen to this nation. But we are told to fear not. And it says, I will strengthen thee. God has promised to strengthen us if we are faithful to Him. We're to be diligent in our service to Him, because this work has to go forward. No matter what happens in this nation, as we talked about in Sunday school today, you know, our job is to spread this gospel to all the world. And we have to be diligent in that, no matter what is happening around us. The next item on this list, it says, don't skip meals, especially breakfast. Skipping meals slows metabolism and conserves fat. It is best to eat 5 or 6 small meals or snacks per day. Avoid large evening meals. Probably just the opposite of what most of us do. Let's look at Alma 16. Starting at verse 219 for my scripture on this one. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him. Cry unto Him when ye are in the fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto Him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto Him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto Him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. You know, it said we're not to skip meals. You know, we're not to skip praying either. And it says that we should eat 5 or 6 small meals a day. We should be praying 5 or 6 times a day or more. We should always have a prayer on our heart. It says, don't skip breakfast. How many times do we get up and we're busy and we skip prayer in the morning? It's something we need to be mindful of. Verse 220. Cry unto Him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets and your secret places and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto Him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those that are around you. Always have that prayer in our heart for our welfare, for our families, for this church, for this nation, for our leaders, for this work in these last days. That God will guide us and direct us. Skip over to verse 238. And that ye live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which He doth bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful and prayerful and pray continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptation of the devil. That he may not overpower you, that he may not become his subjects at the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. That's pretty important, isn't it? to pray against the temptations of Satan. Because he is out there every day trying to destroy us and trying to lead us away. And we know that he has no good thing for us. He only wants us to be miserable like he is. Only our Lord and Savior has good things in store for us. The next one on this list. It says, drink lots of water. Incredible as it may seem, water is one of the most important catalysts in losing weight and keeping it off. Water suppresses the appetite and helps the body metabolize stored fat. Everyone needs at least 8 glasses per day, but overweight people should add 2 to 4 glasses. And here's something else they add. That's another little side benefit from drinking a lot of water. It says this will also increase your activity as you make some extra trips to the bathroom. A little side benefit. I know personally I'm terrible about drinking water. My wife can tell you that. I would much rather drink a Mountain Dew. Let's look at my scriptures on water. Let's look at 1 Nephi chapter 3, verses 68 to 70. This is on page 29. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron, which my father had seen, was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. And the angel said unto me again, look and behold the condescension of God. The fountain of living waters. It says here that is a representation of the love of God. And we know that what love our Lord and Savior has for us. That he came down from the kingdom of heaven, came down on this earth to live as a man and to suffer the temptations and the pain and the suffering that we suffer. What great love our Lord and Savior has for us. It's hard to comprehend, isn't it? That great a love. Be hard to imagine doing that. To live in all peace and happiness. And to come down here for us and suffer and die on the cross. That we might have eternal life. Oh, how great the love is for our Lord, that our Lord has for us. As Glenn talked about Palm Sunday this morning, about our Lord and Savior coming to this earth. And as we know, next Sunday is Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Who died for our sins. That we might have eternal life. Let's look at 2 Nephi. Chapter 13. Verses 6 through 11. This is on page 161. As we see another importance of water. Wherefore, I would that ye should remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet which the Lord shewed unto me, that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sin of the world. And now, if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh then, how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? We see that Christ was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, baptized with water. And it is imperative that we also be baptized with water, that we might have eternal life. And now I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding, he being holy, he shewed unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after that he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again, it sheweth unto the children of men the straitness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, to have set the example before them. We see the importance of water here, don't we? Being baptized with water. It shows the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate. For we know that that is our way to eternal life. That is the gate that we must go through. That gate of baptism. Entering into Christ's church. And following after Him to the end. The next item on their list, it says, limit alcohol. There are 210 calories in an ounce of alcohol. The brain doesn't register the calories in alcohol and will increase the appetite. Alcohol will also actually block the metabolism of fat, keeping it from burning off, in addition to the empty calories it adds. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Our bodies are the temple of God, and His Spirit does dwell in us. And it is our duty as Christians to not defile this body. It's a body that God created. It's a body that He created for us to dwell in while we're here on earth. And we're to be good stewards of that. And not to defile that body. Let's turn on over a couple pages to 1 Corinthians Chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. We see that there's all kinds of sins listed here, aren't there? Fornication, adultery. But we see what else is listed in here, don't we? It says, nor drunkards shall inherit the kingdom of God. So we see what place alcohol should have in our lives, don't we? That we should abstain from it. And always have that desire to follow after God in all aspects of our life. You know, diets require sacrifice, don't they? We have to give up something. We have to give up foods that we like. Have to give up snacks if they're going to be effective. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That means every day, everything we do in our life. That's that living sacrifice. As long as we're living here on earth, in this mortal body, we're to be serving God and following after Him. And it says, which is your reasonable service. That's what God expects out of us. That living sacrifice is not anything extra or out of the ordinary. That's our reasonable service. You know, the world wouldn't say that, though, would they? You know, that living sacrifice, they think you're crazy, a lot of them, to be doing that. You know, why aren't you doing this with us? Why aren't you going with us here? But it says that that is our reasonable service. That's what God expects out of us. And it says to not be conformed to this world. For we know that the things of this world will lead us to destruction. It's only the things through Jesus Christ that can lead us to salvation. You know, one thing about weight gain or dieting is that we gain the weight slowly, don't we? It comes on slowly. And you know, that's exactly the way Satan works. You know, he tempts us slowly. You know, overnight we don't gain 20 pounds. And you know, Satan doesn't work that way either. He doesn't try to pile all these things on us at once. He tries to lead us along slowly, gradually. And we have a perfect example of that in this country today. Over the last century, if you could take a timetable of this last century, from 1900 to today, you would be shocked at the things that are accepted today that were an abomination in 1900. That was the working of Satan. He was pretty clever. He did a good job. He deceived so many. So many have been deceived. That now that these things that were an abomination in 1900 are okay today. But we know that God never changes. And we know that those things aren't okay according to Christ. And those that follow after them will be led down to destruction. Let's look at 2 Nephi, chapter 11, verses 93 and 94. This is on page 146. And there are also secret combinations, even as in times of old, according to the combinations of the devil. For he is the founder of all these things, yea, the founder of murder and works of darkness. Yea, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. That's what Satan is doing to this nation and to this world as we speak here tonight. All these works of darkness, that Satan is the author of them. Leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord, with these little tiny cords, these little strings, these little deceptions. But if we're not careful, it tells us what can happen, doesn't it? Until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. They can't escape them. We see people around us all the time that are bound with these cords, don't we? We need to beware, because Satan wants to bind us too. He wants to bind all of creation. He wanted to bind Christ, didn't he? He tempted Christ. We need to beware. He is out there working hard, trying to deceive us. You know, the easiest way to diet is to not gain weight. But that's kind of hard, isn't it? You know, I have a friend at work. He has a little bit of an unorthodox diet, but it seems to work for him because he's never been overweight. You know, a lot of diets will tell you to weigh once a week because your weight fluctuates. Well, he weighs every morning. And if he's up a pound that morning, he doesn't eat that day. Kind of unorthodox, isn't it? But it works for him. He's never been heavy. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So he's telling us that in our spiritual life, isn't he? It says, touch not the unclean thing. That's those sins in our lives, that we're not to touch them. And you know, life would be a lot easier if we didn't, wouldn't it? If we didn't get started on those sins. But I think this is a very important scripture. I think there's a lot of wisdom in this. It says, do not touch the unclean thing. So that means never get started. Because we never know where something can lead us. You know, something like gambling. There are many people in America today that are addicted to gambling. They're addicted to it. They didn't start out that way, did they? It started out when they bought that first lottery ticket. And they bet on the horses. And then the casinos move in. And before you know it, they're addicted. And that can apply to any sins in our lives. To not touch them. To not get started on any of these things. Because we never know where they can lead. You know, for me to lose weight or to go on a diet, I have to be compelled to. I know it'd be a lot easier to lose 2 pounds than 20 pounds, but I can't do it until I'm compelled to. You know, when I can't button my pants or something, and I need to go on a diet. But I have to have a mindset. I have to have it in my mind to be on a diet. When I get that in my mind, I'm a good dieter. I'm one of the best. But you know what? There's only been a very few times in my whole life that I've been able to get that mindset. It's almost impossible for me to get that mindset. I don't want to sacrifice good food, sacrifice my Mountain Dew. It's hard, isn't it? You know, it can be the same with sin in our lives. You know, like we talked about earlier, when you buy that first lottery ticket, it'd be easy to stop then, wouldn't it? Easy to stop. I'm not going to do this, Lord. But then, when you're addicted to it, when you've put on all that weight, all that burden of sin, now we got a problem, don't we? Now you've got to get that mindset. And it's not always easy. But you know, in our spiritual life, if we don't get that mindset that we're going to change our life, and then we're going to put those things out of our life. Put those sins out of our life. It can lead us to destruction. Which, as we read earlier, is what Satan is trying to do every day. Every day he's putting these little temptations in front of us. Let's look at Alma, chapter 16, verses 132 to 138. This is on page 421. I say unto you, it is well that ye are cast out of your synagogues, that ye may be humble, and that ye may learn wisdom, for it is necessary that ye should learn wisdom. For it is because that ye are cast out that ye are despised of your brethren, because of your exceeding poverty, that ye are brought to a lowliness of heart, for ye are necessarily brought to be humble. And now, because ye are compelled to be humble, blessed are ye, for a man sometimes, if he is compelled to be humble, seeketh repentance. Compel means to force or to have a powerful influence. And we see that these people in this example were cast out of their synagogues. They were compelled to be humble. And it said that they needed to learn wisdom. So the Lord let this happen. Verse 135. And now, surely, whosoever repenteth shall find mercy, and he that findeth mercy and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, as I said unto you, that because ye were compelled to be humble, ye were blessed, do ye not suppose that they are more blessed who truly humble themselves because of the word? Yea, he that truly humbleth himself and repenteth of his sins and endureth to the end, the same shall be blessed, yea, much more blessed than they who are compelled to be humble. Because of your exceeding poverty, therefore, blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble. Or rather, in other words, blessed is he that believeth in the word of God and is baptized without stubbornness of heart, yea, without being brought to know the word or even compelled to know before they will believe. So we see that we're better off, aren't we? If we don't have to be compelled to be humble, to be compelled to come before our Lord. It says that they're much more blessed. Those people are much more blessed. They don't have to go through some of the misery that those go through that have to be compelled. But sometimes that's what it takes in our life, isn't it? That we have to be compelled. That we have to be in the depths of sin before we can come unto the Lord and seek His forgiveness and seek His guidance in our lives. You know, there's lots of gimmicks out there for diets. We know there's low-fat diets, and we know that there's low-carbohydrate and high-fat diets. There's pills, hypnosis, specially prepared foods. Most of them are trying to get our money, aren't they? And they're geared to short-term weight loss and not really for our long-term health. And you know, a lot of these diets will work. But they're not really healthy, are they? They're for short-term weight loss. And as we read earlier, that 98% the people gain the weight back because they're not geared for long term. Not healthy. Not healthy diets. And you know, many religions also have lots of gimmicks today. As we heard Glenn talk about in the sermon this morning, that he talked about these churches, I think he called them mega churches. Mega churches. You know, those are gimmicks. To get people to come in. It's a business. It's more like an entertainment business. Because those churches revolve around entertainment. You know, their messages are real simple messages. They're not going to tell those people anything that they don't want to hear. Because they want to be back the next week. They're not telling them the truth. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Another tool of Satan. And many are being led away. And these types of religions. Let's turn over to Mosiah, chapter 1, verse 16. It's on page 217. And moreover, I say unto you that there shall be no other name given, nor any other way nor means whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ, the Lord Omnipotent. How plain and simple that scripture is. That is the only way for salvation. There is none other. And we know that it is much more than just believing that He is the Son of God. We know that it also means following after Him. But we see today these mega churches that proclaim to be Christian. They are not really teaching Christ, are they? They're teaching something else. And no matter what the world says, only through Jesus Christ can salvation be found. You know, I hope tonight that these little comparisons have made us think about some of these things. Because there are things coming upon this nation and this world that we need to be prepared for. We need to be prepared spiritually. That's the preparation we need. We don't need to build a bomb shelter because the Lord has promised that He will take care of us and bless us. And you know, as we see things come upon this nation, this work is still going to be preached to the world. And I can't tell you how. I don't know. Nobody in this room knows exactly how it'll happen. but God knows. And we got to have faith in Him. And we know that He can do anything. You know, there could be a mighty war going on. And we could walk right through the middle of that war to a congregation on the other side. And the hand of the Lord could protect us. I have no doubt of that. But I ask that each one of us be diligent. Be diligent in your service to your Lord and Savior. And you know, some of the sermons back at conference talked about what we need to be doing. You know, each one of us need to ask that question. Ask yourself that question. What do I need to be doing this day? What do I need to be doing for my service for the Lord? You know, it's going to be a little bit different for each one of us. But each one of us have a part in His plan. If we are diligent and faithful to our Lord and Savior. I thank you.